As we celebrate this great feast day of the arrival of the Magi, the question I want to ask today and reflect upon is why the Magi undertook this long and dangerous journey to come to Bethlehem. You know, what was their motivation? And the gospel actually tells us, it gives us the answer, it tells us two times why the Magi were doing this. They didn't come simply out of curiosity. You know, some people might think, well, you know, of course, this great event, you know, who wouldn't want to see what's going on? You know, or fear of missing out. You know, they're, you know, sometimes, you know, if we look at the crowds that followed Jesus, a lot of people were there just because there were huge crowds and everybody else was going. So they wanted to go and see what this was all about. And they didn't go just to see something amazing for themselves. The reason that they went was to give him homage. And when they found him, that's exactly what they did. It said that they did him homage. That was the purpose of their entire journey. And so what does that mean? What does that mean to give homage? This can be a foreign concept for a lot of people in our culture today because we're heavily focused in our society on personal gratification. You know, our own entertainment, our own pleasure. You know, we want to laugh. We want to have a good time. Homage can be a foreign concept, but homage is the exact opposite of, you know, our own entertainment or gratification. What homage means is to give honor or adoration or allegiance to somebody else, someone who is greater than ourselves. And so the Magi recognized that the Magi were greater, or that the Christ child was greater than they were. They recognized that this was the true king, not just of the Jewish people, but of all nations. And they realized that in part because of the star. They saw that as a confirmation that God himself, that all creation, was proclaiming that this child is Lord. So homage requires the humble recognition that we are lesser in the presence of someone who is greater. And so the Magi were able to recognize that Jesus Christ was and is the true king. But also it's the recognition that we are created. All of us have a beginning. We are creatures, meaning we are created by someone else. Jesus Christ had no beginning and has no end. He was not created. He exists from all eternity. And so homage requires the recognition that we are all finite. We're in one place at one time. We're here in this church today. God is infinite. He is present at every place in the entire universe at every moment. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He knows all things. Homage requires the recognition that we are sinful. Every one of us has committed evil. But God is not. He is the font of all goodness, of all truth, and of all love. And so homage requires us to recognize that when we come into the presence of Jesus Christ, we're coming into the presence of someone who is greater than us, someone who it is right and just for us to give him our allegiance, to give him our adoration, and to give him our worship. It says in the gospel that the Magi prostrated themselves. What does that mean? It means that they actually laid down on the ground in front of him as a sign of their total submission before Jesus Christ. And so when we kneel during the Eucharistic prayer, when we kneel at Mass, it's slightly different than prostration, but the same idea. We're on our knees before the presence of Jesus Christ. One of the things that the Magi can teach us is how to worship God well and properly. Because sometimes we end up just coming to church by habit. You know, if we do this every week, well, this is just another week. On Sundays, we go to church. Or maybe we're here because somebody else brought us here, because our parents brought us here, or because our spouse or our family comes to church every Sunday, and that's why we're here. Or sometimes we can just zone out and be distracted. and our minds are on 100 different things, but not what's going on here at Mass. But we're not called to be half-hearted when we come here to Mass. What we're called to do is to give homage to Jesus Christ, to recognize that we are coming into the presence of the King of Kings, the all-powerful creator of the universe, and it is right for us to give him our worship and our adoration. To adore our Lord. You know, how do we do that? Well, part of that is internally calling to mind the goodness of God or different attributes of God that are worthy of our adoration. And so one of the things we can reflect upon, especially during the Christmas season, is how Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven. There's no pain and there's no suffering in heaven. He could have just stayed there, but he freely chose to come into our world as broken and sinful as it is, to be ridiculed and to suffer greatly for our sake. To think of that God himself would leave heaven to come into our world out of love for us is worthy of our adoration. Or to think about the insults that he accepted for our sake. You know, he comes to us under the appearance of bread and wine. Most people will make a mockery of that, or they'll never in their entire life set foot in church. Never once will they come here to worship and adore our Lord, and yet he comes not in glory and majesty, but under the appearance of bread and wine. And he stays in the tabernacle, in every tabernacle throughout the world, simply waiting for us to come and adore him. Think about the humility and the patience that our Lord has with us. That's worthy of our adoration. And so part of adoration means calling to mind the attributes of God and his goodness that instill in us the desire to want to adore him as we see his goodness. The fact that you know, the Magi went on this great journey. They went on a long and dangerous journey to do homage to our Lord. We're able to simply come to church. We don't have to go on a long, dangerous journey to be here at Mass on Sunday. But that shouldn't make it any less special. That should, in fact, make it all the more special when we realize that God, that he comes to us in every single Catholic church, every single tabernacle throughout the world. He comes to us so that as frequently as we want, we can come into his presence. You know, so the Magi had to go on a long and dangerous journey, but the fact that we can come anytime we want into church is a reflection of God's goodness and his love for us. And so it shouldn't make it any less special than the Magi's journey. It should, in fact, make it more special. You know, the Magi also brought Jesus gifts. They brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, if anyone wishes to bring any gold today to church, we'll gladly accept that. But more important than that is offering love. Our Lord gives us free will, and he doesn't force us to love him. The greatest gift that we can offer as we come to Mass is the gift of our love. And it's also good for us to offer our self-sacrifice, especially in small things, because it's in small things that there's more humility. You know, when someone insults us and we're kind to them, bring that as an offering to the altar. When we're really busy and someone needs something and we take the time to actually, to out of our day, to help someone in need, that's a small act of self-sacrifice that we can bring before the altar. When someone's really annoying us and we smile at them and we're kind to them, there's probably a lot of times where that happens in family life. We can bring that as an offering before the altar. And so as we reflect today upon the journey of the Magi, I encourage each and every one of us to follow their example in giving Jesus Christ homage, recognizing his greatness, that we are in the presence of greatness when we're in the presence of Christ. So to honor him, to adore him, and to lay down our gifts of love and self-sacrifice before him.